I give great honor to, we got some of the saints from the Rock Church of Fort Myers here today. Come on. I brought my own amen corner in case y'all don't get with me this morning. We're going to have church up in this place. Amen. How many of you were blessed by the word of the Lord last night? Wasn't that incredible? Amen. Great thanks to Pastor Miles Young for ministering so powerfully. I am looking forward to the ministry of Bishop Sutton this morning, as well as all of the rest of the speakers this week. There is great things in store. Amen? Amen. And as I was preparing in preparation for this week, I was praying and asking the Lord to speak to me concerning this meeting and wanting to be in context with the thematic focus of this conference, praise and worship. I feel like the Lord dropped a few things in my spirit to share with you this morning and on Friday night. And I'm just going to be me this morning. Is that okay? I'm not going to be an imposter. I'm just going to be Randy Williams this morning. And I'm going to invite you to just join me in the word of the Lord today. All right? Amen. Go with me, if you would, to the book of Psalms, chapter 113. Psalms 113, one verse of scripture, verse number 3. While you're getting that, I give great honor to all of the rest of the ministry represented in this meeting, pastors, evangelists, and teachers, and prophets, and all of y'all add so much to the environment and the context of what God wants to do, and I give you great honor today. Amen. Psalms 113, verse number 3. When you have it, somebody shout, word up. All right. If you don't have it, just fake it. Just act like you got it. Just look at Ezekiel and just nod your head. Or you could look on the screen behind me. It simply says, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the name, or the Lord's name, is to be praised. Last night they preached about worship, but this morning I want to teach, preach, however it comes out. They say that teaching is more information-centric. Preaching is more inspiration-centric. But I think that in every preaching, there's a little bit of teaching, and in every bit of teaching, there's a little bit of preaching. For the next few moments this morning, I simply want to preach 7 ways to praise. Turn and tell your neighbor, 7 ways to praise. Now, how many of you understand that preaching is not a spectator sport? And I'm going to need you to help preach with me this morning. Put your hands together one more time and give God a great big praise. Give me as much monitor as you can this morning. Come on, put your hands together. Give God a great big praise in this house. I want so much monitor that when I scream, my hair parts right in the middle. I want to look like Brother Collins. Amen. God bless you. That's better. Thank you. You may be seated. If you begin to study etymologically the concept of the word praise, and you go through the word of the Lord and begin to study even the concepts surrounding and concerning praise, you will find that the Hebrew terminology and the root words that are used and translated into our English language that expresses the ideas of praise in the word of the Lord, that all of these words are words of physical action. They are words that are indicative of a human being who becomes an agent of expression through our movements and our actions in order to give God the praise. It includes things like clapping and singing and dancing and shouting and kneeling and running. It is the concept that there is an action dynamic in the kingdom of God concerning praise. When you praise God, you are entering into an interdimensional position of transfer between this earth realm that we live in and the heavenlies. You understand that every time we come together as the body of Christ, that there is an interaction between the celestial and the terrestrial. As a matter of fact, Jesus examples this in his prayer when he begins to example to us how to pray. And when he says, "Our Father, which art in heaven." We are reaching toward that thing, that existence, that dimension of the heavenlies. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom, that word come is an action term. Thy will be. The kingdom has to come and the kingdom has to be done. What did he say? On earth as it is in heaven. It is already established in the heavenlies, but we are attempting to become agents by which the kingdom that is established in the heavenlies is manifest in the terrestrial. God, we want to see your perfect will come to pass in this service. God, we want what you have a plan for this house today to come to pass in this service. And so when you begin to praise, it is one of the dynamics of the kingdom of God by which this transfer, this modus of transfer begins to connect us to the heavenlies. And when you begin to study the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, presumably Paul, does an exceptional job of painting a picture for us. The idea that what we have on the earth is simply a temple or template or a shadow of the heavenly things. That what is in the earth realm is only an example of the more perfect thing that we find in the heavenlies. And so as you begin to peel through the word of the Lord, you will come upon things like the pattern of the tabernacle by which offerings were brought unto the Lord, and the priest and the people had to bring those offerings as a way to gain access into the glory and the presence of God. But what was happening, God was not interested in the blood of bulls and goats in order to access his presence. When you begin to read, for example, in Hebrews chapter 13, the writer is discussing this topic. And when he gets to verse 15, he says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Our praise produces a spiritual conduit by which we can gain access to the power and the movement of the fire of God's presence. That's why you have to realize when we come to this house, we are not singing songs just to tantalate your hunger for a great musical experience. We are not jumping and shouting as entertainers on a stage, but we are attempting to bring something into the house of God that will open the windows of heaven and cause the glory and the fire of God to begin to move in the midst of his people. Oh, somebody ought to clap your hands right now in this place. Come on, that's why the writer said in Psalm 22 and 3, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." We need to have a fresh revelation that our praise and worship becomes a conduit by which the fire and presence of God begins to move in our presence. When we read the book of Matthew chapter 21, is this all right? When we begin to read Matthew chapter 21, we are familiar with the story by which Jesus enters into the temple. And the Bible says that there he overturns the table and the seats of the money changers and those that sold doves. And we quickly sit in a seat of scorn and say, yes, what were those people doing there, selling those things in the house of the Lord? And we quote Jesus, that my house shall be called a house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. But can I suppose to you or propose to you a question? Why were they there selling doves in the church in the first place? You must understand that they were still operating under that order of Old Testament revelation that you don't come to the house of God without a sacrifice. You don't come to the house of the Lord without bringing something to give God. And they had gotten to a place where it was too cumbersome, too laborious and messy to bring your own animal and to prepare your own sacrifice to bring to the house of the Lord. And so as an alternative, they set up a business by which you could show up at the temple. And as long as you brought a couple dollars with you, you could buy a sacrifice that you could bring in. Give to the Lord. But Jesus wanted them to understand you can't borrow somebody else's sacrifice. You've got to bring your own sacrifice into the house of the Lord. Can I submit to you that his anger was not so much at the money exchangers as it was the idea that you would come to the house of the Lord depending on something. You see, I came from the hood. I grew up in the hood, and when I was a teenager, we used to have code language. When we wanted to party and we didn't want everybody else to know. And we used to have an acronym that we would tell people. And some of y'all that are going to be honest may have heard it before. It was BYOB. See, I got five head nods, yes. What it meant was, in the hood, we had to party on a budget. and you couldn't bring everybody Popeye's chicken. And you couldn't buy the alcohol for everybody. So BYOB means bring your own bottle. But I've adapted a new acronym for church. BYOP. Bring your own praise. Don't show up to the house of God depending on me to worship God until the glory falls. And don't come to the house of God waiting on the musicians and the choir. Somebody ought to make up your mind. I came to the house of God and I brought my own praise. I brought my own sacrifice. I brought my own thing that will usher me into the prep. That's why you have people at a service that can get a hold of God and the Holy Ghost is moving. Why? They brought their own sacrifice. But there's other people on the fringe that are trying to get a move of God off of somebody else's sacrifice. Baby, if you learn how to lift your hands and give God a praise, there is something in your praise that will bring you and usher you into the presence of God. And so when you begin to study the terminology used in Scripture to communicate the idea of praise, you will find some words that are very powerful and very descriptive in the way that they give us details in how to give God the praise. And as you begin to study these scriptures, you will find that many times people are in the house of the Lord and they are attempting to praise God in a way that is unbiblical, that is not scriptural, and they become spiritual Esau's that are trying to bring their own sacrifice, their own way before God. But God said there's an acceptable way for you to bring your sacrifice and your offering unto me. The first word, tell your neighbor the first word. For the word or the idea of praise in Scripture is the word yada.
And the word yada means to show reverence or praise with extended hands. When you see people in a football stadium with their hands in the air, we didn't get that from them. They stole that from us. They're just worshiping their God. They're just praising. That's why we ought to come into the house of the Lord with our hands. The word pictures associated with the root words for this type of praise is shooting an arrow, Brother Jacobs, or throwing a rock. It literally means to extend the hands as if to shoot an arrow. There is an element of warfare that is exemplified when our hands are lifted in the presence of God. I got three people that know about spiritual warfare in the building this morning. Why do you think the enemy fights you so much to sit in your pew with your hands glued by your side? Because an uplifted hand is a posture of spiritual warfare. It's the equivalent of putting up your dukes and letting hell know I came. The other definitive detail concerning yada is that it means to thank God for what he has already done. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's already done for me, my soul cries hallelujah. You see, Psalm 150 commands us to praise him according, tell your neighbor, according to his excellent greatness, and to praise him for his mighty acts. That word according would indicate that there is an expectation of proportional praise. In other words, however good God has been to you, your praise ought to be equal to that. Can I translate it? If God's never done anything for you, then you can sit there this morning doing nothing. But if God ever made a way, and God ever brought you out, and God ever did a miracle, if he ever healed you, you ought to praise him according to his excellent greatness. There's some people in the building that ought to shout until you lose your mind this morning. There are some people that ought to shout until you know, God, I thank you that you brought me out. I thank you that you brought me over. I'm thankful that you made a way where there was no way. Come on, somebody give him a yada praise. Somebody lift those hands and praise him for what he's already done. Psalm 42 and 5 said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet yada for the help of his countenance. In this verse, the writer is speaking to himself. How many of you understand that there are times that you don't need to talk to the devil? You don't need to speak to your friend or a counselor, but there are times you need to speak to yourself. And he's talking to himself. And the Bible said that his soul is disquieted. That word disquieted means to be fearful. And he begins to speak to himself and say, why are you disquieted? For I shall yet yada for the help of his countenance. Praise will bring you out of a fearful place. Praise can shift the atmosphere of your emotions and your mind. It'll bring you from a posture of intimidation to a posture of power. You see, we are often accused of a bunch of emotionalism. That's just a bunch of hype. That's just a bunch of emotionalism. But I came to preach this morning that my praise did not begin in my emotions. One writer said, I will bless the Lord at all times. My praise didn't start in my emotion. It started in my will. You got to command yourself. I will bless the Lord at all times. I want to be afraid. I want to be confused. But I will bless the Lord at all times. Come on, somebody give him a yada praise. Hey. Psalm 63:3 said, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. As long as I've got breath in my body, I'm gonna give God the praise. Psalm 150 declares that the only qualification you need to give God the praise is the breath in your body. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Come on, somebody give him a yada praise. Throw your hands in the air and give him a yada praise. I'm trying to hurry. Psalm 134 verse, I'm going to stumble up on my point in a minute. Psalm 134 verse number 2 said, yada in the sanctuary. The English said, lift up your hands. But it says, yada in the sanctuary. This is the right place to lift your hands. There ought to be a whole lot of hand raising that goes on in our service. And bless the Lord. The sanctuary is where we praise him. Now, how many of y'all ever been to a buffet? I got 12 honest people. The rest of y'all going to hell on a scholarship for lying this morning. Some of y'all was at a buffet this morning. Go to a buffet. I don't ever see anybody at the restaurant walking around the table saying, come on, y'all. Get some food, y'all. Come on, y'all, it's time to eat, y'all. Why? Because you know when you go there, that's what we do. And if you leave the buffet and go to the gym to burn some calories, I ain't never been in a gym and somebody walk around saying, come on, y'all. Exercise, y'all. Come on, y'all. Exercise. Why? Because when you go there, you know what time it is. It's time to exercise. When we come to the house of the Lord, shouldn't nobody have to tell you? Come on, y'all. Give him some praise, y'all. Come on, y'all. Come on. Nobody ought to have to tell you that. Why? Because we're in the sanctuary. And this is where we lift our hands to give God a great praise. Tell your neighbor number 2. The second word that you will find as the original word to communicate praise is the word todah. And this word is very similar to yada, but it has a slightly different connotation. It means to show agreement with by extending the right hand. In today's society, the closest thing that we have to this is when two people shake hands to agree on a deal. Come here, Brother Williams, quick as you can. Just jump over the pew if you got to. Yes, sir. All right. The closest thing we have to todah is when you find somebody and say, it's a deal. Yeah, you can even bring it in like that, bruh. We shook hands. That means I'm going to do what I said I was going to do. And I'm going to trust that you're going to do what you say you're going to do. Todah, thank you, is giving God the praise, not for what he's done, but for what he's going to do. Todah is a prophetic praise. It's learning how to praise God before he ever performs. It's learning how to praise God as if it is all ready. I need a church up in this building this morning to go ahead and give God a todah praise. I just wonder what you're believing God to do. I wonder if there's anybody in the house that has a word of promise from God. And this morning, your hands are lifted saying, God, I haven't even seen it yet, but I'll praise you now. You can do it later. Come on, you ought to throw your hands in the air and connect your hand with God's hand. God, I'll give you the praise because I know your word is true. God, I'll give you the praise because your arm is not short and your promises are not slack. You're going to do what you said to do. Y'all calm down. We're just on the second one. Just calm down. Psalm 50, verse 14 says, offer unto God todah, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Woo! I'm not gonna get into that. But your todah praise is your expression of faith. The Bible says that faith is the of things and the of things. Your worship, your todah praise is the substance and the evidence of what you've been hoping for, but you haven't seen come to pass yet. The fact that you're already praising him is the evidence that I believe God is going to do. I see the wood and I see the sacrifice, but where is my son? The Lord's going to provide. I and the lad will go yonder and I dare you this morning to take about 60 seconds and give him a todah praise. Praise him like you already got the phone call. Praise him like you already opened up the envelope. Praise him like the door has already been. Yeah! Yeah! Yeah, yeah! Is this all right? Somebody just come grab my coattail when we're out of time. It reminds me of the story of the little boy who came down the stairs one time and his mom was cooking breakfast. And he said, Mama, this was like in July. He said, Mama, I just want to say thank you. She said, baby, what for? He said, Mama, I want to say thank you for that brand new bike you're going to get me for Christmas. She got a look on her face. Said, boy, we haven't even got to Christmas. You don't even know. Next morning, she's cooking breakfast. Little boy comes down the stairs, sits at the table, said, hey, Mama. She said, yeah, baby. I just want to say thank you. What for, honey? Mama, I want to say thank you for that brand new bike you're going to get me for Christmas. She just shook her head. This went on for 3, 4, 5 days. Every morning, he just came down the stairs saying, Mama, I want to say thank you for that brand new bike. Finally, on the 7th day, the little boy came down the stairs and sitting in the kitchen was a brand new bike. Mama couldn't take it anymore. She said, I can't even wait till Christmas. You don't understand that it's the Father's good pleasure to give gifts unto his children. And there's something about a Todah praise that moves the heavens. And God said, I'll bring your promises into your reality. I'll bring your... I just need about 200 people that believe it this morning to give God a Todah praise. Thank you, God. Name it. Lift your voice and declare it. I thank you right now for making a way. I thank you for what you... Hey! Come on, somebody. You serve a God that calls things that are not as though they are already... Tell your neighbor, tell them name. Number three. The third word used to communicate the idea of praise is the word Barak. But Barak is a type of praise that we commonly see around altars. And it means to kneel down. It means to bow low as a sign of adoration and reverence. And it carries with it the idea of humbling yourself to a place that is lower than the recipient of your praise. Psalm 95 and 6 said, oh, come and let us worship and bow down. Let us barak before the Lord our maker. 1 Chronicles 29 and 20, David said to all the congregation, now barak the Lord your God. And all the congregation baraked the Lord God of their fathers and bowed down their heads and worshiped the Lord and the King. When you read over in Psalm 103, you'll find the phrase over and over again, bless the Lord. That term, bless the Lord, is the word barak. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Barak the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. He was commanding everything within him to bow before God. Sometimes your greatest praise is when you learn how to get a hold of everything going on in your life and get to an altar and say, you're gonna bow before God. I'm gonna make fear bow before God. I'm gonna make anxiety bow before God. I'm gonna make addictions bow before God. I'm gonna make my mind bow. Come on, somebody, barak. And if you keep reading, it says, barak, and forget not all of his benefits. There's something about that position of praise that brings back to your mind all of the benefits of the kingdom of God. When you get to thinking you're in trouble and you get to thinking that life's a mess, all you gotta do is bow yourself at an altar and start remembering the goodness of the Lord and the benefits of living for God. I can wake up every morning without a hangover. I can wake up every day in my right mind. I can wake up every morning knowing who holds my future in his hands. Tell your neighbor, number four. The fourth word. I'm just teaching. The fourth word used to communicate praise is the word Tehillah. Tell your neighbor, Tehillah. This type of praise is singing. Oh my. But not just any type of singing. It is a spontaneous type of singing where the songs are often unrehearsed and unprepared, but they are straight to the throne room of heaven. You're going down the road, navigating the vicissitudes of life, and all of a sudden, spontaneously from your spirit, I've had some good days. I've had some hills to climb. At Acapulco, I've had some weary days. Woo! Something starts moving in the car, and some sleepless nights. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That Tehillah praise. Oh, but when I look around, I think things over. All of my good days outweigh the bad days. Hey, so I make a decision right now. I won't complain because God's been good to me. Hey, it's a Tehillah praise. Shift gears with me. Or you at the dollar store. Oh, just me? Don't let this suit fool you, baby. I can ball on a budget, baby. I got any budget ballers in the building? Craigslist, Goodwill, come on, baby. Woo. Hey, that dollar store anointing will get on you. But you in between blessings. And you got like $20. And you got a whole shopping buggy full of stuff. And y'all, you get to the register. And they beep, beep, beep. You're thinking, oh, Jesus, please, please, Lord. She gets done, says, that'll be $19.95. Hey! Come on, that's that Tehillah praise. That spontaneous praise where you lift your voice. When I think about Jesus, what he's done for me. When I think about Jesus, how he saved, set me free. Can dance, 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 dance. Psalm 23:3, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the Tehillah of your people. It's that kind of song where we sing what's in our hearts to God, and His Spirit jumps in and joins in our song, and our song becomes His song, and His song becomes our song. David did it all the time. He starts out in one place complaining, and then the Lord reaches into his spirit and starts releasing the truth out of him. Psalm 73, David starts out saying, but as for me, my feet were almost gone, and my steps had well nigh slipped. He said, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. But when he kept on singing the song, it began to change. And in verse 17, he said, until I went under the sanctuary of God. God, I felt like life was over, but I stepped in the house of the Lord, and something began to spontaneously combust on the inside of my spirit. Tell your neighbor, number five. Hurrying to my clothes, beloved. Number five, the word used to communicate praise is the word zamar. Tell your neighbor, zamar. Now, zamar literally means to pluck the strings, to celebrate in song and music. It is singing songs that is put to music, but it can also and most commonly is referred to as just playing your instrument. It is often translated or mistranslated into the English as the phrase sing praises. So when we come to church and ain't nobody singing, but the band is shouting, can I tell you that's biblically, that's a zamar praise. They're plucking the instruments. They're playing on the high sounding cymbals and the low sounding cymbals. Y'all give me about 60 seconds of a zamar praise. Come on, go. Come on, man. See, y'all thought that was hype, but that's a zamar praise. The loop going. Psalm 108 verse 1 through 3 said, oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Listen to verse number 2. He personifies his instruments and he says, awake, psaltery and harp. He looked at his instrument. He turned on the power button and said, wake up. It's time to give God the praise. I just need some musicians that'll command your instrument for the next few moments and command your instrument. It's time to give God a zamar praise. Go. Yes. Yes. Hey! Okay, stop the loop, but keep it handy. Y'all, why y'all acting like this? We're just teaching a little Bible study this morning. I gotta hurry. Bishop Sutton's going like this with his watch. I'm just kidding. Tell your neighbor, number six, the word used for praise is Shabbat. Shout at your neighbor, Shabbat. Are y'all ready? This is where you come into the sermon. Shabbat means to address in a loud tone, to shout. It is a shout of praise. You ought to shout until the people on the internet feel the Holy Ghost come into their living room, till they gotta pull over their car on the side of the road. Somebody shabbat. A Shabbat is typically associated with freedom or triumph, but it is more than just a loud shout. It is the idea of putting everything you have into it. It is the concept of wholehearted praise. You got these kind of shouters. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. And then you got it. Yeah. That's a Shabbat praise. When you give everything you got. Somebody lift your voice. No Shabbat praise, baby. When's the last time you shouted until you gave everything you had to? See, if we're not careful, there is this spirit trying to creep into apostolic churches that wants to bring everything down, turn it down, settle it down, push it down, calm down. But I don't find that anywhere in the word of the Lord. Hold on with me, I'm going somewhere. Somebody said, well, God ain't deaf. Well, he ain't nervous either. I said, he ain't nervous either. Well, give me Bible. Thank you for asking. I think I will. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 19 said, and the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to Shabbat, the Lord God of Israel, with a loud voice. But it wasn't just a loud voice. He said, with a loud voice on high. You ever seen the control on a guitar amplifier? It says low, medium, and high. In other words, shout with a loud voice and turn it all the way up. As loud as you can get it. Shout with everything. Somebody Shabbat. Somebody Shabbat. in Mark 11 and Luke 19, we find Jesus going into Jerusalem. This is a prophetic moment of scripture being fulfilled from the prophet Isaiah. And as he is making his way into Jerusalem, the Bible said that there was a crowd of people that were gathered. And it said that they took off their garments and they had spread. I need about 12 of y'all. Guys, just throw your jackets up here. Just throw them up there. Just, yeah, that's good. And they had their garments spread. And the Bible said they had a bunch of palm trees, the palm branches. Now, if we was in Fort Myers, I'd tell them go outside to the front yard and grab a bunch. But I don't see a palm tree for a long way. So I need somebody, just get your rags and just wave them. Just get your hanky, get your neighbor's wig and just. Some of y'all got some of that summer hair. Some of your hair and some of somebody else's. You go swimming, you gotta sing, weave in the water. I better keep on preaching. They was waving them palm branches. And Mark said that they cried out. Luke said that they lifted up their voice and they rejoiced and they praised. And they were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Palm branches and garments flying everywhere. While they were shouting, I gotta hurry. And the Bible said that there were some Pharisees that came over to Jesus. Now you gotta follow me, because when I read the scripture, I animate everything in my mind and I put voices to the characters. And I don't know why, but when I hear the Pharisees speak, I hear this certain brogue. And it's not South Louisiana, Brother Jacobs. Shaw. Giving him praise, yeah. No. But I hear, you know, in my mind, the Pharisees are British. I don't know why, but they came to Jesus and they said, Master, rebuke thy disciples. In other words, it doesn't take all of that. The waving of the palm branches and the laying down of the garments, all of that isn't necessary. Well, I just want you to know, I'm not living for God based on necessary things. I don't live for Him on the minimums of what is necessary. Hey! Too good to me for me to just try and squeeze by with the minimum. Master, rebuke thy disciples. Now you see, what them jokers didn't understand was who they were trifling with. You see, in that crowd were probably people like blind Bartimaeus, who who was on the highway side begging, and he was blind until Jesus came and said, bring him to me. And there was probably people in the crowd like Lazarus, who had been in the grave for 3 days. But Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And he lived again. Brother Irvin, there was probably people in the crowd like Mary Magdalene, who most believe was the woman caught in the very act, who they were ready to stone. But Jesus said, go thy way and sin no more. And you got to pay attention to the text. Because Mark said, am I right, Bishop? You come on. Come on, finish this. Okay. Mark said that they, or maybe it's Mark. I might have to be back. Mark said, well, Luke said first that they cried aloud. And if you look up that word in the original, it literally means to scream like a raven. Y'all ever heard a raven in the wild? Ah! It'll make you jump. Especially when you're hunting and mess up your good hunting. You just feel like. When it says they cried, that was the word to use. It was like a screaming raven. And then Mark said this, that they rejoiced and praised. Now that means something to me because the word rejoice is a compound word. And if you study its origin in the English language, it means, joyce means to be joyful. Rejoice means to be joyful again. This was a group of people that got to thinking about what God had done for them. This was their praise. Wasn't just praise. It was them remembering all of the testimony of what God had done. And it caused them to start screaming like a raven. Hallelujah! Hosanna! I can just see Jesus looking at those Pharisees saying, if you want them to stop, go ahead and try. But you don't know like I know what he's done for me. I need somebody in the building that can reach back and praise him. Some of y'all acting too cute from where God brought you from. You know if God hadn't found you, you'd be in a grave. If God hadn't rescued you, you'd be locked up. If God hadn't found you, your life would be upside down. You better give God a praise, baby. You've got a reason to rejoice. Number 7, the last word I want to talk about that communicates the idea of praise in the word of the Lord is the word Hallel. Tell your neighbor Hallel. But Hallel requires one to step outside of dignity for a moment, because Hallel means to be clamorously foolish, to boast and to shine. This is also where we get the word hallelujah from. It literally means to praise the Lord. But even more literally, it means to be clamorously foolish unto the Lord. This includes dancing and laughing and leaping and twirling before the Lord. Can I give you the power to become 2021 translation? It means give him a praise and don't be cute with it. No. You see, too many of us have learned how to come to church and act bougie. Come on, I'm gonna preach to the young ladies for a moment, and then the young men. Some of y'all young ladies have gotten too professional at learning how to shout just to the point where you don't mess up your cute heels. You can dip just enough. You know how to shout just enough so that hairpiece doesn't get messed up in your hair. Who are you trying to impress, baby? A hallel praise makes you kick off your shoes. Back in the day, they would shout until bobby pins were flying all over them. Some of y'all need to quit worrying about Brother Tom and Brother Harry and who's watching you, and look at God, who's been good to you. Listen, I'm afraid in too many churches, we're raising generations of Mr. GQ Smooth young men who are more interested in keeping their nice little look, and they don't want to mess up their tie, and they don't want to wrinkle their suit or grease their shoes. But baby, a hallel praise, it'll make you take your tie off. It'll make you throw your jacket off and give God your best. One, two, three, go! Somebody give him a hallel, please. Come on. To look cute, I came to give God my best praise. Come on, somebody, give him a hallel praise. Urban, help me fix my collar. I don't want to look like Elvis while I'm preaching. Or John Travolta. Listen, can I tell you what stops a hallel praise in church? Can I tell you what stops a hallel praise in church? Pride. Pride stops a hallel praise in church. I tell you, the best thing to kick pride out of your life and sacrifice pride is a good old-fashioned hallel praise, where you turn loose and you don't care what happens. I've got to spin, dance, and shout and give God my best praise. Somebody shout. Go ahead, young lady. the breakthrough you need will happen when you break through in your praise. Listen, I'm done right here. A Hallel praise is the kind of praise that David did when he brought the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem. And the Bible tells us that he spun around and he danced until he danced his way right out of his garments. Got to the house, the Bible said that Michal looked at him and her comment was, what a fool, foolish, you look like a fool. You want to know what had her? Vanity and pride. How do I know? Because she said, you look like a fool shouting in front of all the handmaids of Israel. She thought praise was about showing off to other people. Now see, here's the problem. Michal should have been down there with him instead of in the window watching him. Because when you become a spectator instead of a participator, it won't be long before you look at this kind of church and call it foolishness. You become separated from the glory of God that they were feeling while they brought the ark in. Can I preach to some of us that have been in the pews too long and you've disconnected yourself from the glory of the altar? There's something special that happens when you get out of your seat and you participate in an altar of worship. And here's the root of the problem, is she thought it was foolish that the king would act this way. Now you'll remember, Michal was the daughter of a king. But her example of a king never gave God that kind of praise. Her point of reference was a king who never got pride out of his life. And so when she saw David worship, it was strange fire to her. Can I preach to you, to some of us, that if you're not careful, there's a generation of adults and older people that if you ever get to the place where you're too good, too old, too tired for this kind of worship, there's some young people watching you, and it'll only take one generation before they look at this kind of church and say, that's foolish. It doesn't require all of that kind of... Now we can talk about familial generations, but what about just generations of people in the church? A new convert comes in, and in a few years they've graduated to a more mature Christian. And if you're not careful, you'll let maturity rob you of this kind of praise in your life. And it'll be generations of people that pretty soon our new converts don't see us lost in the Holy Ghost anymore. And the new convert never sees Uncle So-and-so and Brother So-and-so shouting with a complete abandon. Hear me, somebody. We've got to let them know this is how you give God the... I need everybody in this building to move out of your seat and run to this altar with your hands lifted. I need every generation. I need grandma, grandpa, daddy, mama, babies. We're going to take a few moments and give God our best praise. Come on. There's seven ways to praise. There's seven ways. Somebody give God your best praise. Come on. You ought to shout until your tie comes off. You ought to shout until you kick your heels off. You. Yes. Yes. Go. 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 Open your mouth and shout, yes, Lord. Open your mouth and shout, yes. Open your mouth and shout, yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Open your mouth and shout, yes. Open your mouth and shout, yes. Open your mouth and shout, yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Somebody give him a praise in this place. Somebody give him a shout of praise in this place. Yes. Go. Go. Somebody shake the heavens. Somebody shift the atmosphere with your praise. Somebody shift. Come on, God's raising up a new generation with the revelation of the power of your praise.
Behave yourself. You better quit that.
You're making a fool out of yourself. Okay, really do stop. I just wanna tag in here. You know what just happened to you? You're sitting in a big Charger 440 under the hood. They don't do that anymore, but, and it's just rumbling, at the light. And the light just changed. You're riding with Randy Williams. Whoa. And man, you redline that thing. Wow! Your hair and your face are being pulled back. You know what just happened to you? You just looked up and there's a 40 mile an hour speed limit and the popo's sitting right by the sign. Now hold on. You can stay where you are. I'm not gonna keep you long. There's hamburgers and pizzas and stuff waiting here. Everybody safe from the rising of the sun, even to the going down of the same. My name shall be great among the Gentiles. That would be us. Your prophecy fulfilled right now. Your shout is prophecy fulfilled in this house right now. And say, and in every place. And say, in every place. Say, in every place. Don't tell me about burn over fields. And don't tell me about people that are too hard. And don't tell me about cities that can't have revival. I want you to know the Bible says, in every place. In every place, incense shall be offered unto my name. And you know, because you're astute students of the Bible, you know that the incense right by the veil that led into the Holy of Holies, or the most intimate place with God, you know that that incense that billowed in to where God was and billowed out to where men were, you know that that incense is a type of your prayer and your praise, because you can stand right there having come through the process and right there standing in covenant, and you can begin to offer up the incense of praise and worship, and it touches God, but it also flows out to where the people are, and it touches men, and it brings men and God together. And a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen. That's what my mama used to call me, you heathen. But the Bible says, Malachi speaking, that his name is going to be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. The overarching plan of God has always been universal. God told Abraham, he said, and in you, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. And then later on, he would say, and my house shall be a house of prayer for all the nations. And we see it played out in the provisions of the Old Testament and the wall destruction of the New Testament. And God opens up doors for everybody to come in to the kingdom. Praise God. The temple is no longer going to be the place. It's going to be destroyed. And the veil is going to be torn. And Israel is no longer going to be the exclusive people. And the universal incense is going to be worship. And it's going to be all over the world. You know that you can't go to a country on the face of the earth right now where there is not praise and worship unto God under the flag of the apostolic message and the mighty name of Jesus. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. But it hasn't touched everybody just yet.
Praise God. Praise God.
I want you to understand that a while ago, Brother Williams mentioned strange fire. Boy, when you were preaching last night, man, you preached good last night. When you were preaching last night, I was transported 47 years back to Victoria Drive in Baton Rouge. And when you turn on your side and I see that profile, just like looking at your dad. And when you crank up and that big, oh, comes from down in there, sounds just like your daddy. And I can't help it. I just go back. Praise God. Anyway, that had nothing to do with this. That was just me and you. Appreciate the word of God. But you talked about strange fire. In Leviticus, they're about to fire up the altar for the first time. And there always has to be an altar. And the altar is what makes the rest of it real. They're about to fire up the altar the first time. And I get the impression that maybe Moses and Aaron don't really know what to expect. Because Aaron comes down after putting the sacrifice on the altar, and he walks over to Mo, and they kind of go into the tabernacle for a minute. And I guarantee you they were saying, what do you reckon's next? Because this is the inaugural of the tabernacle. They've never done this before. And in that moment, they walk out, and the presence of God, the Shekinah of God, comes out of that house with them. And then before all the people and Moses and Aaron, fire comes out of that presence of God, and it burns everything on that altar. And it's the fire of God. You know that it's important because it's God. You know that it's important because it's the inaugural. But you don't really know how it is until the next chapter begins. And the next chapter begins with Nadab and Abihu offering up strange fire to God. Those boys were back in that tabernacle process, back in the inner workings of the house of God, and they knew better because they had been through all of it with Aaron, their father. And they brought fire that was not the fire of the altar given by God. And God said, no, not that fire, this fire. He cremated them on the spot, burned them. And in that moment, he preaches to every one of us that would follow after, you got to have the fire of God. And it only comes from God. And you know what happened there when he poured out that fire? If you go back to Exodus and you look at the construct details on the altar and the tabernacle, you find out that when they made the altar, it had flesh hooks, and it's neat. It says his flesh hooks and his, and it talks about all of the accessories that go along with that giant barbecue pit that they had at the opening up of the tabernacle process, and something that he gives them there. He says, and his fire pans. And what it was a brass pan. And it was insulated in animal hide. And you could go to that divine fire that came from God the very first time. And you could, because they were a mobile people, that tabernacle was portable. It would go everywhere with them. And that's how the kingdom of God has to be. It's got to be in you, and it's got to be something portable in you. And you could get fire that came from God. Put it in that fire pan, and you take it on down through the wilderness. And the next place you set up that tabernacle, that process, in that place, you've got the fire of God. You've got the fire of God in a brand new place. And the fire of God was meant to be the fire of the incense. That's where Nadab and Abihu blew it. They were trying to offer up incense without the sacrifice, without the fire of God. And God said, no, you can't do that. You got to stop by the altar before you make your way to the prayer. You got to stop by the altar before you make your way to the praise. And you have to have the fire of God. And so they carried the fire pans, and it was the fire of God. And so the incense was pleasing to God because it was connected to that inaugural moment when God poured out the fire. And then centuries later, that tabernacle was still running. Centuries later, that temple began to run, and the incense was borne up on the heat of the fire of God, and it was passed from generation to generation. Somebody say amen. When you were talking about the woman at the well last night, and you brought all that together, the altar of Abraham and the altar of his children and the altar of Jacob, and then she's there by Jacob's well, and she said, are you greater than our father Jacob who drew from this well? My God, I thought I was an outsider like her, and I was outside the covenant like her, and I was wandering around without purpose and without God in my life. And I came to a church on Victoria Drive, and I'd never seen anything like that before, and I'd never seen worship like that before or heard preaching like that before. But I'll tell you, and my wife will amen it tonight, we are so glad that when we got there, the fire was still in the house. There's an interesting corollary. That's the only time God poured out fire in that application and on that tabernacle's process. But there's a corollary with that. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together, and they were in one mind. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty pneuma, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And cloven tongues like as of fire began to sit upon each of them. And they all began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. They get the Holy Ghost again in Acts 8, but there's no fire visible. And they get the Holy Ghost in Acts 10, but the flames of fire are not there. And they get it again in Ephesus in 19, and you don't see, you don't read, it's not recorded, the flames of fire. How does that work? Well, it works just like it worked in that tabernacle plan. God poured the fire out, and dedicated people gathered up the fire of God and said, none other will do. It's got to be the fire of God. And they carried it. And they carried it from camp to camp to generation, because the incense has to be pure. It has to be God's way, God's plan. So that New Testament crowd, Peter and James and John and all the boys and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and that 120 and then that 3,000, you know what happened to them? They got that same fire from God. It came down on that day of Pentecost crowd, and they were lit up with the fire. But that fire, they don't have to have a brass pan and an animal hide to insulate it, because God puts the fire down inside you when he puts the Holy Ghost down inside you. But it's got to be the fire. It's got to be the true fire. It's got to be the fire of the Holy Ghost. If you're Nadab and Abihu in this house today, you've got to know it can't be your fire. It can't be your mama's fire or your daddy's. It's got to be God's fire. And it's got to be alive in the fire pan of your experience. All that to say this. In every place, there's going to be a sweet-smelling savor, incense, a pure offering before God.
And I tell you what, I don't know about COVID, and I don't know about the government, and I don't know about the economy, and I can't tell you what the nations are gonna do. I can tell you something unexpected will happen, and something that you didn't plan on will happen. And I'll tell you that you can't live happily ever after here. And that's not gonna happen in this world. And you need to get your head up and your eyes up and begin to look for the things of God. But I'll tell you what, when I see you worshiping down here this morning, and I see you praising and magnifying God, I love it. I love it. The fire is still in the house. The fire is still down inside the fire pan. But God didn't give it to you just for you. God didn't give it to you just for you to use and for you to shout. This is a puny experience inside these four walls. But God intended for you to take that fire out on your job and down to the Walmart and down to those places where you're sitting with your family. God wanted you to set your world on fire with praise and worship. Who works in an office? Who works in an office? You work in an office? I want you to, you sit in a cubicle, you sit behind a desk, or you just drive other people. You sit behind a desk. When you're going back to work, Monday morning, Tuesday, I want you to, when you get in there, I want you to sit down, and I want you to lay your hands on that desk, and I want you to begin to shake yourself, and you don't have to disturb the whole house. That fire is real, and that fire is alive. And you can do whatever you need to do in that setting. But I want you to let the fire begin to stoke up, stir up the fire, the gift that is within you. And let it radiate out and let it move through that office. Who works in a store? Who works in a store? You work in Harvest. My God, you got all kind of liberty there. When you get on the parking lot, you need to let the fire come out. When you get inside the house, when you touch your boss, you need to let fire run from you to him. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Because you are the fruit of prophecy. You are the Gentiles praising and magnifying God. But that's not enough. You can't stop there. You've got to get it in your head in every place. In every place. Where do you work? In that place. Where do you work? In that place. Making pottery. You're going to break some stuff in there when the Holy Ghost starts moving. Where do you work? In a shoe shop. Let that Holy Ghost move in. It's got to be bigger than what we're doing in this house today. It's got to be out on the street. It's got to be in your office. It's got to be in your family. It's got to break out of here. You got to stoke up the gift. You've got the fire of God down in you. Let's give him some praise right now and magnify him. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. Come on, take your Barak and take your Taliah and take all of your praise and take it outside. Take it in the workplace. Take it to the school. Take it to the street. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every hand lifted, every voice lifted. Hallelujah. I want you to reach over, lay your hand on somebody by you, and I want you to let that Holy Ghost flow through you. Talk in tongues with some authority here today. Talk in tongues with some anointing and authority today. Let that Holy Ghost flow. Hallelujah. Yeah. Set us on fire again afresh. Set fire to the worship. Set fire to the praisers. Shake yourself a little bit. Ah, Clap your hands, my God. Brother Williams, thank you so much for preaching in this house. My stardust, if that's teaching, I'm gonna wear a crash helmet on Friday night. There's no telling. Do you have some announcements you wanna make? Nothing? They all know where to go. We're gonna gather here at 6:30. Excellent. Love on somebody. Share your victory. Shout if you want. Stay and pray if you like. We're going to have church again tonight. God bless you.